I conclude this day by expounding part of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount to a small, serious company at Eble. Wesley in Wales. Monday the 15th. Upon a pressing invitation some time since received, I set out for Wales. About 4 in the afternoon, I preached on a little green at the foot of Devawden, a high hill 2 or 3 miles below Chepstow, to 300 or 400 plain people on Christ, our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. After sermon, one who I trust is an old disciple of Christ willingly received us into his house, whither many following, I showed them their need of a Savior from these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In the morning I described more fully the way to salvation, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." And then, taking leave of my friendly host, before 2 came to Abergavenny. I felt in myself a strong aversion to preach there. However, I went to Mr. W., the person in whose ground Mr. Whitfield preached, to desire the use of it. He said with all his heart, "If the minister was not willing to let me have the use of the church, after whose refusal," for I wrote a line to him immediately, "he invited me to his house." About 1,000 people stood patiently, though the frost was sharp, it being after sunset. While from Acts 28:22, I simply described the plain old religion of the Church of England, which is now almost everywhere spoken against under the new name of Methodism. Friday the 19th, I preached in the morning at Newport on "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" to the most insensible, ill-behaved people I have ever seen in Wales. One ancient man during a great part of the sermon cursed and swore almost incessantly, and toward the conclusion took up a great stone, which he many times attempted to throw, but that he could not do. Such the champions, such the arms against field preaching. At 4 I preached at the Shire Hall of Cardiff again, where many gentry I found were present. Such freedom of speech I have seldom had as was given me in explaining those words, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." At 6, almost the whole town, I was informed, came together, to whom I explained the 6 last Beatitudes. But my heart was so enlarged I knew not how to give over, so that we continued 3 hours. Saturday the 20th, I returned to Bristol. I have seen no part of England so pleasant for 60 or 70 miles together as those parts of Wales I have been in, and most of the inhabitants are indeed ripe for the gospel. A terrible sight. Tuesday the 23rd, in riding to Bradford, I read over Mr. Law's book on the new birth. Philosophical, speculative, precarious, behemish, void, and vain. Oh, what a fall is there! At 11 I preached at Bearfield to about 3,000 on the spirit of nature, of bondage, and of adoption. Returning in the evening, I was exceedingly pressed to go back to a young woman in Kingswood. The fact I nakedly relate and leave every man to his own judgment of it. I went. She was 19 or 20 years old, but it seems could not write or read. I found her on the bed, 2 or 3 persons holding her. It was a terrible sight. Anguish, horror, and despair above all description appeared in her pale face. The 1,000 distortions of her whole body showed how the dogs of hell were gnawing her heart. The shrieks intermixed were scarcely to be endured, but her stony eyes could not weep. She screamed out as soon as words could find their way, "I am damned, damned, lost forever. 6 days ago you might have helped me, but it is past. I am the devil now. I have given myself to him. His I am. Him I must serve. With him I must go to hell. I will be his. I will serve him. I will go with him to hell. I cannot be saved. I will not be saved. I must, I will be damned." She then began praying to the devil. We began. "Arm of the Lord, awake, awake." She immediately sank down asleep, but as soon as we left off, broke out again with inexpressible vehemence. Stony hearts, break. I am warning to you. Break, break, poor stony hearts. Will you not break? What can be done more for stony hearts? I am damned that you may be saved. Now break, poor stony hearts. You need not be damned, though I must. She then fixed her eyes on the corner of the ceiling and said, There he is. Aye, there he is. Come, good devil, come. Take me away. You said you would dash my brains out. Come, do it quickly. I am yours. I will be yours. Come, just now. Take me away. We interrupted her by calling again upon God, on which she sank down as before, and another young woman began to roar out as loud as she had done. My brother now came in, it being about 9 o'clock. We continued in prayer till past 11, when God in a moment spoke peace into the soul, first of the tormented and then of the other. And they both joined in singing praise to him who had stilled the enemy and the avenger. Yonder comes Wesley galloping. Saturday the 27th. I was sent for to Kingswood again, to one of those who had been so ill before. A violent rain began just as I set out, so that I was thoroughly wet in a few minutes. Just at that time the woman, then 3 miles off, cried out, Yonder comes Wesley, galloping as fast as he can. When I was come, I was quite cold and dead and fitter for sleep than prayer. She burst out into a horrid laughter and said, No power, no power, no faith, no faith. She is mine, her soul is mine. I have her and will not let her go. We begged of God to increase our faith. Meanwhile, her pangs increased more and more, so that one would have imagined by the violence of the throes, her body must have been shattered to pieces. One who was clearly convinced this was no natural disorder said, I think Satan is let loose. I fear he will not stop here. He added, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus to tell if thou hast commission to torment any other soul. It was immediately answered, I have L-Y-C-R and S-8-J-S, two who lived at some distance and were then in perfect health. We betook ourselves to prayer again and ceased not till she began about 6 o'clock with a clear voice and composed, cheerful look. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Sunday the 28th, I preached once more at Bradford at 1 in the afternoon. The violent rains did not hinder more, I believe, than 10,000 from earnestly attending to what I spoke on those solemn words. I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Returning in the evening, I called at Mrs. J's in Kingswood. S-H-J-S and L-Y-C-R were there. It was scarcely a quarter of an hour before L-Y fell into a strange agony, and presently after S-H. The violent convulsions all over their bodies were such as words cannot describe. Their cries and groans were too horrid to be borne, till one of them, in a tone not to be expressed, said, Where is your faith now? Come, go to prayers, I will pray with you. Our Father, which art in heaven. We took the advice from whomsoever it came and poured out our souls before God, till L-Y's agonies so increased that it seemed she was in the pangs of death. But in a moment God spoke, she knew his voice, and both her body and soul were healed. We continued in prayer till nearly 1, when S-H's voice was also changed, and she began strongly to call upon God. This she did for the greatest part of the night. In the morning we renewed our prayers while she was crying continually, I burn, oh, what shall I do? I have a fire within me, I cannot bear it. Lord Jesus, help, amen, Lord Jesus, when thy time is come. Tuesday, November 27, I wrote Mr. D, according to his request, a short account of what had been done in Kingswood and of our present undertaking there. The account was as follows. Few persons have lived long in the west of England who have not heard of the colliers of Kingswood, a people famous from the beginning hitherto for neither fearing God nor regarding man, so ignorant of the things of God that they seemed but one move from the beasts that perish, and therefore utterly without desire of instruction as well as without the means of it. The Colliers of Kingswood. Many last winter used tauntingly to say of Mr. Whitfield, "If he will convert heathens, why does he not go to the Colliers of Kingswood?" In spring he did so, and as there were thousands who resorted to no place of public worship, he went after them into their own wilderness to seek and save that which was lost. When he was called away, others went into the highways and hedges to compel them to come in, and by the grace of God their labor was not in vain. The scene is already changed. Kingswood does not now, as a year ago, resound with cursing and blasphemy. It is no more filled with drunkenness and uncleanness and the idle diversions that naturally lead thereto. It is no longer full of wars and fighting, of clamor and bitterness, of wrath and envyings. Peace and love are there. Great numbers of the people are mild, gentle, and easy to be entreated. They do not cry, neither strive, and hardly is their voice heard in the streets, or indeed in their own wood, unless when they are at their usual evening diversion, singing praise unto God their Savior. That their children too might know the things which make for their peace, it was some time since proposed to build a house in Kingswood, and after many foreseen and unforeseen difficulties. In June last the foundation was laid. The ground made a choice of was in the middle of the wood between the London and Bath roads, not far from that called 2 Mile Hill, about 3 measured miles from Bristol. Here a large room was begun for the school, having 4 small rooms at either end for the schoolmasters, and perhaps, if it should please God, some 4 children. To lodge in. 2 persons are ready to teach, so soon as the house is fit to receive them, the shell of which is nearly finished, so that it is hoped the whole will be completed in spring or early in the summer. It is true, although the masters require no pay, yet this undertaking is attended with great expense. Chapter 4. Preaching Incidents. Wesley's Labor Colony. Dispute with Whitfield, curious interruptions, the mother of the Wesleys. Wesley's correspondence. 1740, Thursday, January 3rd. I left London and the next evening came to Oxford, where I spent the 2 following days in looking over the letters which I had received for the 16 or 18 years past. How few traces of inward religion are here. I found but one among all my correspondents who declared, what I well remember at that time I knew not how to understand, that God had shed abroad his love in his heart and had given him the peace that passeth all understanding. But who believed his report? Should I conceal a sad truth or declare it for the profit of others? He was expelled out of his society as a madman, and being disowned by his friends and despised and forsaken of all men, lived obscure and unknown for a few months, and then went to him whom his soul loved. Monday the 21st. I preached at Hannam, 4 miles from Bristol. In the evening I made a collection in our congregation for the relief of the poor, without Lawford's Gate, who, having no work because of the severe frost, and no assistance from the parish wherein they lived, were reduced to the last extremity. I made another collection on Thursday and a third on Sunday, by which we were enabled to feed 100, sometimes 150 a day, of those whom we found to need it most. A sermon and a riot. Tuesday, April 1st, Bristol. While I was expounding the former part of the 23rd chapter of the Acts, how wonderfully suited to the occasion, though not by my choice, the floods began to lift up their voice. Some or other of the children on Belial had labored to disturb us several nights before, but now it seemed as if all the host of the aliens had come together with one consent. Not only the court and the alleys, but all the street upwards and downwards was filled with people, shouting, cursing, and swearing, and ready to swallow the ground with fierceness and rage. The mayor sent order that they should disperse, but they set him at naught. The chief constable came next in person, who was, till then, sufficiently prejudiced against us. But they insulted him also in so gross a manner as I believe fully opened his eyes. At length the mayor sent several of his officers, who took the ringleaders into custody, and did not go till all the rest were dispersed. Surely he hath been to us the minister of God for good. Wednesday the 2nd, the rioters were brought up to the court, the quarter sessions being held that day. They began to excuse themselves by saying many things of me, but the mayor cut them all short, saying, "What Mr. Wesley is nothing to you. I will keep the peace. I will have no rioting in this city." Calling at Newgate in the afternoon, I was informed that the poor wretches under sentence of death were earnestly desirous to speak with me, but that it could not be. Alderman Beecher, having just then sent an express order that they should not. I cite Alderman Beecher to answer for these souls at the judgment seat of Christ. Sunday, September 14, London. As I returned home in the evening, I had no sooner stepped out of the coach than the mob, who were gathered in great numbers about my door, quite closed me in. I rejoiced and blessed God, knowing this was the time I had long been looking for, and immediately spake to those that were next me of righteousness and judgment to come. At first not many heard, the noise round about us being exceedingly great, but the silence spread farther and farther, till I had a quite attentive congregation. And when I left them, they all showed much love and dismissed me with many blessings. Sunday the 28th, I began expounding the Sermon on the Mount at London. In the afternoon, I described to a numerous congregation at Kennington the life of God in the soul. One person who stood on the mount made a little noise at first, but a gentleman, whom I knew not, walked up to him, and without saying one word, mildly took him by the hand and led him down. From that time he was quiet till he went away. When I came home, I found an innumerable mob round the door, who opened all their throats the moment they saw me. I desired my friends to go into the house, and then, walking into the midst of the people, proclaimed, "The name of the Lord, gracious and merciful, and repenting him of the evil." They stood staring at one another. I told them they could not flee from the face of this great God, and therefore besought them that we might all join together in crying to him for mercy. To this they readily agreed. I then commended them to his grace and went undisturbed to the little company within. Tuesday the 30th. As I was expounding the 12 of the Acts, a young man with some others rushed in, cursing and swearing vehemently. He so disturbed all near him that after a time they put him out. I observed it and called to let him come in, that our Lord might bid his chains fall off. As soon as the sermon was over, he came and declared before us all that he was a smuggler, then going on that work as his disguise, and the great bag he had with him showed. But he said he must never do this more, for he was now resolved to have the Lord for his God. Wesley's Labor Colony, Tuesday, November 25th, London. After several methods proposed for employing those who were out of business, we determined to make a trial of one which several of our brethren recommended to us. Our aim was, with as little expense as possible, to keep them at once from want and from idleness, in order to which we took 12 of the poorest and a teacher into the society room, where they were employed for 4 months till spring came on in carding and spinning of cotton. And the design answered, they were employed and maintained with very